Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here live on a Thursday. The Predators and the Flames tonight at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 p.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got Coffee with the Coach coming up at 7:30 this morning. Dan Lambert will join us. But right now, getting set for the Titans and the Panthers coming up on Sunday in Charlotte. And we get the Carolina perspective as we're joined by David Newton. Does a great job covering the Panthers for ESPN and ESPN.com. David, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you?
Doing great. Good to look forward to this game coming up. Big game for both teams.
For sure. Good to have you in. And, you know, I looked at the Panthers a couple of weeks ago and Kyle Allen just continuing to play well. At that point, no turnovers. The Panthers hadn't lost a game with him. And I was thinking, and I even said this on the show a couple of times, I don't know that the Panthers, if he continues to play like this, go back to Cam Newton. Now, obviously, we saw the 49er game. We saw the turnovers. Kyle Allen maybe returned, you know, a little regression to the mean. Was it a surprise for you that Ron Rivera stuck with Kyle Allen this week?
Not totally. I wrote that if he wanted to switch, this would be the ideal time. But if Cam was 100% healthy, and right now Cam's not 100% healthy, and that's been the key to this whole thing, that they're not going to rush Cam Newton back. But it is interesting. If they won that game and Cam been 100% healthy, then that would have been a really, really, really tough decision for Ron Rivera. Fortunately for him, he didn't have to make that because I think that would have been probably the biggest decision he's had to make in his career since he's been here. So Kyle's just kind of tightened things up a little bit. He didn't have a good game this past week, but what he did wasn't the reason they lost that game. Defense that have been playing really well, gashed in the run game and didn't play well in the pass game either. So they've got to tighten that up, get the pressure back on the quarterback like they've been doing, and just keep Kyle Allen from making mistakes. Kyle admitted that, you know, he was playing on the road, he was playing in a big game, that his heart got raced a little bit, and he probably made some got a little ahead of himself, did some things he didn't need to be doing out there. Should have gotten the ball in the hands of Christian McCaffrey a little more.
Now, in a weird way, for Ron Rivera, we know that, you know, it's not been good for him the last few seasons. Did this sort of save his job somewhat? Cam being injured, having to sit down, Kyle coming in, winning some games, kind of stabilizing things. They're still in the playoff hunt. Did this, you know, the injury sort of save his job, at least for now?
I mean, I don't think that they were going to make a decision before the season was over regardless. But I still think the pressure is still there for him, for the Panthers to not only win but make the playoffs. You know, they didn't make it last year, and they had the quarterback situation. I think David Tepper gave them this past offseason to kind of shore up the backup quarterback spot in case something happened to Cam Newton again, so they'd be ready for that situation. So if they were to go on a skid like we did last year after a bad loss, you know, after the Pittsburgh loss last year when they were pretty much embarrassed like they were against San Francisco this past week, they went on that 7-game skid. So if the same thing happened again, I think you'd see a lot of changes around Bank of America Stadium. So I don't think anybody's safe right now. You can see the look on David Tepper's face after the game. He wasn't a very happy owner.
When you look at this defense, they are one of the best teams in the NFL at getting pressure on the quarterback. Both hits, sacks, you know, they're great against the pass because of that pressure. What makes them so dangerous in that department?
Well, they've got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. They keep teams off balance. They keep quarterbacks off balance because they never know where the pressure's coming from. And they can do a lot of that pressure with basically their front four or five guys. They don't have to blitz a lot to get that pressure. So they've really done a good job of that. That was an emphasis during the offseason. They wanted to get better at that. They were 27th in the league in sacks last year. They're second right now. And They only have one less sack than the New England Patriots. The Patriots have played one more game. So they've really on a pretty good pace. I mean, I wrote a story a week ago. They were on a pace to, at least if they kept up their current level of sacks per game, they would tie the record by the 1984 Bears that had 72 sacks. So they've got to get back up on the game to get back on that pace. But I think it's going to be interesting on Sunday. You guys starting a young quarterback. They like to give that confusion to those guys, so we'll see what happens.
David, I think a lot of people think Christian McCaffrey is a legitimate MVP caliber player, and the guy is just unbelievable. But what makes him so difficult? Because you know you got to stop the guy, whether it's on the ground or through the air. The guy is just a total monster. I look at it from the standpoint of I don't think Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore get the respect they deserve, and I think those guys are one of the reasons why it becomes even more difficult to stop a guy like Christian McCaffrey. How is this offense operating beyond just Christian McCaffrey?
Well, it is running through Christian McCaffrey right now, and the wide receivers have played okay. I don't think they've played great right now. I think they're going to need a little more out of Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore if they're going to make a run this year, because teams are going to gang up on Christian McCaffrey. But McCaffrey is totally a beast, man. It's not just that he is his athletic ability. I mean, he can jump over people. He can run around them. He can out-juke them. He has that breakaway speed to pull away from them. But it's just how strong he is, too. A lot of people were surprised at how well he runs between the tackles. I mean, he really is just got – I think he's maybe the best all-around back in the league. I mean, even last week against the number one defense in the league, if you look at the numbers, I think he was right around 100. He had over 100 yards rushing and receiving another 38 or so. He's right around 150 total yards from scrimmage against a defense that was not allowing that much more than that per game. And he had a 43-yard run called back because of a holding penalty by the guard in that game. So he has just been unbelievable out there. I don't know if there's any one way to stop him because he just does so many things. You can line him up outside. He can get one-on-one with a linebacker, and the linebacker's just not going to stay with him, even a safety. Again, he can run between the tackles. He's got the elusive moves and the speed to break through there. So he is unbelievable. It's interesting. You got this game coming up with Derrick Henry. I know he's not facing Henry, but Henry's the guy that beat him out for the Heisman back in 2015. And Christian still doesn't. He's nothing against Henry, but Christian's still not happy he lost that.
He's pulling. He has the old Peyton Manning thing going.
Hey, I voted for McCaffrey over Henry. I just want the record to show.
Man.
Well, you might be one of the few in the East Coast because it seems like a lot of East Coasters must have voted for Henry because a lot of them didn't stay up late enough to watch some of McCaffrey's highlights. It's been really interesting to watch though because I had a lot of respect for Henry and what he did, and he really carried that Alabama team in 2015. But when you look at everything that Christian can do, my gosh. And again, you can't grade them on what they've done since they got to the NFL, but you got to grade them on that 2015 entirely. But, you know, both of them broke a legend's record.
Yeah, both of them ultimately I think will be studs in this league. McCaffrey's already showing it. Derrick Henry started up last year with showing how much of a bruiser he can be and will be moving forward. You alluded to this being an important game for both teams. I look at the Carolina Panthers after this game. They got Green Bay. If they win this game and Kyle Allen plays well, is this a must-win for Ron this game, knowing that they have Green Bay coming up and then Atlanta? And if Kyle wins this game, how much more difficult will it be to then insert Cam Newton into the starting lineup?
I hate to use the word must win, but I think it's an important game, as I said earlier, because they do have a tough game coming up, and they do need to get back on track and win some home games because they started off 0-2, and both of those losses were at home. And you can't make the playoffs if you have a losing record at home, generally. So they've got to do that. A tougher part of their schedule is on the back end. They have a few easy games. Nothing's really easy in the NFL, but they have the Falcons twice, the Redskins. So those are games you think they could win. So if they win on Sunday and you throw those in there, then you get to 8. But you're going to have to get an NFC probably up to 10 wins to have a shot right now because there's so many good teams in the NFC. So they're going to have to upset some teams. I mean, their finishing stretch is going to be really brutal. So they've got the Saints a couple of times too, and the Saints are playing unbelievable. So it's a really big game just to get back on track and to try to build some momentum. What they do with Cam, I can't even see them coming back to Cam until after he's practiced a week or two. And he's not going to get it this week. It looks like he wasn't even on the field, working on the side yesterday. I don't know if he'll be out there today again because it's, weather's pretty bad out here. And, you know, I don't know if they want to throw him in a situation coming back where he's facing a Green Bay team that's really hot, because when Cam comes back, they need to put him in the best possible situation to win, because he's lost 8 straight games as a starter going back to last year. And if you put him back out there with Kyle Allen have success and they lose a game, like even the Green Bay, people are going to just start to put a lot of heat on him and Ron Rivera. I think the most likely scenario, since they didn't come back this week, is probably in a couple of weeks when they play Atlanta, because Atlanta's struggling. That's a good situation for them to go out there and put a win up. So, again, I don't think he'll see Cam against Green Bay right now. It just seems like that's going to be too quick since he's not out there this week.
David, we appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you very much.
Enjoy it, guys.
You got it. David Newton covers the Panthers for ESPN and ESPN.com. Falcons are a good elixir. Maybe that's a good time for Cam to come back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Christian McCaffrey is just – he's –
yikes.
He's that new back. You know, he's the back that everyone covets, because he can both run between the tackles. I think that was the big unknown. Can he run between the tackles in the NFL? Well, at least for now, he's proven that he can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He's averaging 5.2 yards a carry. And then not only that, from a receiving standpoint, he has over 1,000, close to 1,000 yards in total offense, for this team, with, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. No, more than that, honestly. He has over 10 touchdowns. So it's going to be hard to stop a guy like that, because you don't know, even when he's in there on first down, do you put a linebacker in there or do you put a defensive back in there? What do you do? Yeah. Because he can easily run between the tackles, or they can flank him out on first down, and now you got to cover him with a bigger linebacker. So,
in which case, I'm sending him down the sideline in a wheel route, and you got no chance.
Yeah, so this is probably one of those nights where Dean Pease has been up all week. He hadn't slept. That's not one bit.
Yeah, but let's kind of flip it the other way. This is probably the best defense Christian McCaffrey's seen all year. Unless they've played the Patriots or Bills.
That 49ers
defense is pretty good.
That's true.
Just last week.
And see, the thing is, he's going to get his. What you can't then let happen is the other guys. Either you could take two approaches. You could say, we're going to take him out of the game like a Bill Belichick. We're going to take this one guy out of the game and force everybody else to beat us. Or you're going to say, you know what, I'm taking everybody else out, and I'm going to force this one guy to beat us. If he could beat us by himself, so be it. So it all depends on which approach you want
to
take.
I'd love to know, and maybe we can ask this question, like just what would be your approach if you're Belichick / Pease? Like what do you do with McCaffrey? How do you approach it?
Let's get into that when we come back. It's Morning Drive here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
I need to get into the internet real quickly here. Just, you guys know I tell you about Xfinity and the great products they have all the time on the show and literally every day. And it's the TV, the technology, the development, the home security, the app, all that stuff is amazing. But what I've learned this year, even more so than ever before, is internet usage at my house. Like on Saturday nights in particular, I have to do my show for ESPN on Saturday nights, and it carries a ton of bandwidth. But my wife sits in the living room, and she, you know, she's watching her shows on demand. She's got stuff going for the kids on the iPad. I've got the two TV set up going. I've got my wireless internet working on my laptop. Like, so basically, Xfinity internet, it is working overtime at my house more so than any of your houses on Saturday nights, and it runs perfectly. Runs absolutely perfectly. I can do the entire show. I've got the laptop going. I've got the iPad going. I've got the on-demand TV screen going in the other room. The wife can watch whatever she wants. Not a single glitch, no slowdowns, no nothing. And I'm running a lot more stuff on my Xfinity Wi-Fi than the average human does at home on a Saturday or Sunday night. So I know that it's a perfect solution for your internet problems. So check out what they've got. They've got unbelievable upload and download speeds. Obviously, download speeds is what you guys need. I need good upload speed, but they offer it all, and that's why Xfinity is simple, easy, and awesome. It makes your life better, and it makes your experience better at home. So check them out. They've got tremendous, tremendous Wi-Fi speeds. The Blast Internet is fantastic as well. Check it out. Have them come out and give you a good. They'll set up the Wi-Fi location in your house so that every single TV and every single room and every single nook and cranny of your house is covered. They'll make sure. They'll test it all while they're there setting it up. They got you covered. Xfinity. 1-800-XFINITY is the phone number. Xfinity.com is the website. Or pop into a store today for more details.
It is Morning Drive. Good to have you in live here on a Thursday. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise. I guess we'll call it a officially Happy Halloween show this morning.
Yeah, I was just asking Marquise why this song, and I guess I'm just old and boring, why this song
it's
was
Rihanna,
a Halloween
man.
Song.
I'm friends with the monster inside of under my bed.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no.
You feel me?
Once you explained it to me, I understood a little bit more.
Right.
But see, it doesn't really have to always be the generic, you know, it's a monster mash. I'll probably play that later. I'll probably play that later anyway.
As long as we get the Halloween theme at least once.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
Oh, we will. I'm
is
just
that
saving
Jason
it.
Voorhees, is that right?
No, it's Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, that's right. See, I don't know. I'm not a Halloween guy.
Just put on AMC for the month of October, and all they show for 30 days in a row is Mike Myers movies.
So what is Dean Pease having bigger nightmares about, Jason Voorhees or Christian McCaffrey?
It's got to be McCaffrey. 100%.
What is the approach? Because Belichick, what we talk about all the time with Belichick is he takes away your best option. He will not let your best thing that you do beat him. And I think we saw that with the Titans last year, right? He took away Derrick Henry in the running game, and Derrick Henry was benched in that game. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make Marcus beat me. And Marcus beat him that day. But what is the approach if you're Dean Pease on Christian McCaffrey? Is it are you trying to spy him in some way? Is it bracket? I mean, what's the strategy, Derek?
Because he's two-dimensional, and – you know, this is a guy that can, again, he can run the football, he can catch the football. Probably can throw the football, too, so three-dimensional.
I think he might have thrown a few passes in college.
Yeah, so it's hard to cover guys or game plan for guys like that. It's easier to game plan for a Derrick Henry because you know he's not catching many passes out the backfield. So it's easier to take a guy like that out of a game. And we talked about it earlier with, you know, why I think I had some success against Bill Belichick because I just wasn't one guy. I just wasn't a speed guy. I was a guy that can do just about anything in a route combination, so it's harder to take guys out like that. And I know Dean Pease is trying to, you know, figure out a way, how do we take Christian McCaffrey out of the game, knowing that, one, he's a three-down back. Two, he can be in a pass pro. He runs between the tackles. He runs outside. He can run the screenplay. Whatever they need Christian McCaffrey to do, he can do it. The Wildcat, whatever. It's hard to take guys like that out of the game. So what you do is you tell your team, listen, be disciplined. Rush lanes are very important. Be disciplined. It's kind of like when you're going against, you know, Lamar Jackson. Stay in your rush lane. Mm-hmm. Do not get outside your rush lane. Don't start inventing things when you play against Lamar Jackson, because the minute you invent something, he's going to gash you for 40 yards. The same with Christian McCaffrey. Play your assignment in alignment, and tackling is very, very crucial.
Yeah, they got to rally to the ball.
They
got to gang
tackle.
They got to
get him down. They cannot. There can't be any missed tackles.
If he catches one of those middle routes for 5 yards, you can't let him bust it into 25 yards. Like, and there's nobody that can cover him. You can't put Byard on him. You can't put Jayon Brown on him. I almost feel like, you know what? Christian McCaffrey's going to get his in the passing game. If they can keep him to under 75, 80 yards rushing, I think that's a win. I just feel like you can't let the other guys eat. You can't let DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Greg Olsen, some of these other players go off. Like, almost be resigned to the fact that, look, Christian McCaffrey's almost unstoppable, but we can't let the role players kill us.
Samuel's been a heavy target. They've targeted him a lot. Yeah. He hasn't caught a ton of passes. He does not have a high catch rate, but they throw the ball to him a lot. And so he's one of those guys, if you remember him at Ohio State, really dynamic kid who played. He came in, I think, as a running back recruit, turned into a receiver, did a little bit of both. So he actually is cut from the same mold as Christian McCaffrey, to be honest with you. Obviously a pure receiver in the NFL, but can do a little bit of everything. So And DJ Moore, same thing. He's sort of cut from the same cloth. They got a lot of versatile weapons, and then you slide in Greg Olsen, right? And so it's a dangerous offense, but Kyle Allen, I think, is – this is one of those games on defense, to me. If you cut the head off the snake, the rest of the body's going to wilt. I feel like if you can pressure and attack Kyle Allen, sure, Christian McCaffrey might get his 20 touches, you know, 16 carries, 4 or 5 receptions, and maybe he gets to 100 yards. And sure, okay, you're going to give up some points, but – if you look at what he's, you know, you cut off the head of the snake here in Kyle Allen, I think, like the Niners did last week, that there's your path to success against this offense. Defensively, it's a totally different beast. You better be prepared to take some lumps, and hopefully Brent Kern is bat being healthy again, because I think you're going to have to play some field position with the offense this week.
I predict that, because I don't think there's anything they can do short of just, you know, rallying to the ball, and when he gets it, get him on the ground as quickly as possible. He's going to have 100 yards receiving and 100 yards rushing, or damn near 100 yards rushing, but over 100 yards receiving. They're going, because
200 yards of offense?
No matter what you do with Christian McCaffrey, even against a really good defense, he's a matchup problem. Are you going to put a DB on him? Well, go ahead and try to put LeSean Sims on him and see what happens.
We saw enough last week.
I don't know if Jackson's playing this week, but you're not going to put Jackson on him. Okay, go ahead and take a linebacker out and why he's in the backfield.
What are you going to do? You said this yesterday. Imani Hooker might play a big role.
Yeah, Imani Hooker.
He might be the guy.
And they're going to have to bracket him on every play, every offensive play, because you don't know if they are going to run the ball. I mean, you probably have your cues, but even when he's running the ball, he's averaging close to 5.5 yards a carry.
Yep. All right, Predators and the Calgary Flames tonight at 7 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back and talk with Dan Lambert. It's time for Coffee with the Coach. My man, Dan Lambert, power play savior.
Will you profess your love directly to his face?
Absolutely. I've already tweeted him directly. Right. I will say it directly over the radio. We'll do that when we come back here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise, and Michael Myers here on this Halloween. One thing that is scary is the Predators' offense, and it is certainly improved on the power play, and I think one man gets a ton of credit for that, and that is Preds assistant Dan Lambert. Coach, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you guys?
We are doing excellent. You know, a couple of days ago on the show, I said on the air, I even tweeted at you directly at Dan Lambert 15. I said, thank you, sir, for fixing the power play. So let me give you a very professional, hard-hitting journalism question. How'd you do it?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know that I had to fix anything. I think, you know, just establishing the trust and the relationships with the players. Obviously, there's a lot of skill on this team, and I think it was – you know, and adding Matt Duchene as a left shot certainly has helped. And so I'm not sure that anything has been fixed, but I know that we're trying to establish certain things, and momentum is one of them. And I think, on some nights we've done a good job of that.
I was going to say, bringing in an $8 million centerman who's, extremely talented certainly helps the whole process. But I was talking to Ryan Johansson last night about this, and it's very obvious that you guys love having Matt Duchene low with Victor Arvidsson now high, which is not how they ran it last year. Explain sort of what that left-handed shot means and what it allows you to do on offense with Johansson on the half wall.
Well, I think, you know, with Matt's ability to make plays down low and him being able to attack, being a left shot from that side of the ice is critical. And then where he gets the puck, often passing it to a right shot in Arvidsson in the slot or back door for that matter, whether it's Yarncroc or Forsberg, it just gives you different looks and different threats. And when you execute two or three quick passes, often it ends up in a scoring chance or a quick strike, and that's kind of, you know, those are some of the things that he adds, and then there's probably a lot more, but certainly that's some of it.
Now, Coach, sometimes it can just be, as you know, I mean, I'm sure you have kids, and sometimes when you say things, It doesn't quite hit them. And then someone else comes in and say the same thing. And it seems like for some strange reason, it gets through. I don't know why that is, but it happens. And maybe just maybe in this situation, you know, a new voice, a new, maybe just a new approach. You said the guys, you don't think you had to fix anything because those guys are just uber talented. Maybe it's just a different voice explaining the same thing and maybe just a tweak here and there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I wasn't here last season. I know the coaches that you know, were working with the power play. They're very intelligent guys. Nothing much has changed that way. But you know what? I honestly do believe that, you know, establishing those relationships are important. And I think that the players have, you know, they didn't enjoy last season as far as their numbers when it came to the power play, so I think they were all ears and they wanted to make a change and they've done that. I mean, I haven't done much when it comes to changing. They've just you know, decided that they wanted to do things differently.
Now you guys are tied for second in the Central with 17 points. Pekka's on a tear right now. What has been the one thing that has gotten you guys to this point? You're 8-3-1. Like I said, you're tied for second with 17 points in the Central. But what has been the one thing that you see that has been, besides the scoring, because you guys are, I mean, I call you the Kansas City Chiefs of the NHL. You're scoring anybody at will. But what has been the one thing in your mind that has put this team in the position that they're in now?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, in some of our wins, we've come from behind in the third period. And I think maybe that's a big factor, is that there's no you know, basically never do we think that we're out of the game. There's no, guys don't give up at all. They always believe, you know what, we can come back. We can make the next play. We can. And I think when you have that, even if you're not at your best, for 60 minutes, you know, if you believe that you can come back on anybody, I think that's a huge advantage. And I think right now we have that belief that we feel like even if we do go down a goal or two, we don't have to change the way we play. Maybe we have to raise our game a little bit, but, you know, we can find a way to put a couple pucks in the net.
Dan Lambert joining us here for another installment of Coffee with the Coach here on Morning Drive. I know you've only been here for a short period of time. Obviously, the big news, Roman Josi, monster contract. What have you seen in your little bit of time here in Nashville from Roman Josi, both on the ice and off the ice?
You know what? Roman is an unbelievable human being. He's such a great person, first and foremost, and I think he's really respected in that dressing room, and he's certainly one of the main voices on our team, probably the main voice. He wears the C for a reason. He is our leader. But when you have a guy like Roman as your leader, there's a lot of supporting cast in his corner, and I think Roman is the, you know, if you want somebody to lead your team, he's your guy. I mean, it's amazing. Not only is he an unbelievable player, but he's an unbelievable person, and he wants to win. He competes every single night. He's your hardest worker every day. I mean, you know, you hear that from people, but he truly brings that every day.
Coach, you look at Tampa or maybe, you know, at Vegas as better wins than beating Chicago. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Chicago, but they're struggling right now. So there might be better wins that you've had. But has there been a more complete win for you guys as far as first shift to last shift, all 60 minutes, both sides of the ice, both ends of the rink? Has there been a more complete showing in your mind than what you guys did to Chicago on Tuesday?
Not that I've seen. I've been here for a short time, like you mentioned, but I thought it was a real complete game, you know, from our goaltender all the way out. I mean, we were very happy with every individual, and as a team, we played as a team. We came in waves. When they did have the odd shift where it came in our end, we went right back at them. I thought it was a great effort and certainly something you'd like to bottle up and bring every single night.
Coach, always a pleasure. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Dan Lambert joining us here on the show. And, yeah, I mean, the power play, night and day difference. But he says, I don't think it's really, I'm not going to take any credit. Well, no, they were dead last year, sir.
Different voice, though, too.
Feel free to take credit.
Like you said, Derek, he's kind of a new voice saying something, and that can change things.
Yeah, but then, Matt Duchene doesn't hurt.
$8 million poker chip there.
And changes some things up. But he's right. I think because the players are there. The players were always there. And I'm sure he hasn't come in there and just reinvented, the wheel. He's taken what he has, and with the new addition to Duchene, and just worked with that. And I think the guys it's easier to start the season off and get the problems fixed because you have all offseason to work on that problem, and then get into the season you can start off fresh, as opposed to middle of the season trying to change things. That is very difficult to do. If it's going wrong, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to fix it. You just hope that, it's not bad when you need it, that you can at least get a score when you need it on a power play during the season. It didn't happen for them last year. This year, they've started off on the right foot. They've gotten some confidence in their power play. I don't think you will see what happened last year ever again. Because now these guys, they believe that they can score on a power play. They believe they got the guys. They believe in Coach Lambert. So I don't think you will see this team. Now, will they be number one? I don't know. But I don't think you will see this team go, be like at the bottom of the league in power play anymore. I don't think.
Can I take like a really nice, smart, educational segment on Preds hockey and just completely drag it into the gutter? Are you guys okay with that? Can I pick on Duck Lips and what's the new name of the show in the afternoon? Duck Lips and
SpongeBob Stillman Pants.
Oh, that's right. SpongeBob Under the Sea.
SpongeBob Stillman Pants.
SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs in the afternoon. Not Mr. Krabs. You're cool, man. But let me pick on the human frat paddle for a second, because again, he takes. I love you, Stillman. You're a great dude, but you take so much stuff out of context and then you twist it for your own use. And you picked on me a little bit yesterday. Got a few people on Twitter tweeting at me saying, "Hey, Stillman's calling you out because your Chicago take." I have now asked Ryan Johansson, Colton Sissons, and a coach on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Is Chicago the most complete performance of the year? Not the best win of the year, but the most complete performance of the year. Mm-hmm. And all three of them have said yes. It was our most complete performance from goaltending, defense, offense, from the first shift to the last shift. 60 minutes of complete hockey. It was our most complete performance.
Well, the eye test would say that, and the stats.
Almost broke a record for shot attempts. Yep. It was not their best win. When I tweeted you hotcakes yesterday, I did not say it was the best win of the season. So don't twist my words on your show like you always do and turn it into some other topic that you want so that it fits your story. What I said about Chicago and the way they played on Tuesday night was not that it was the best win of the season. The way they played against Vegas, as you so eloquently put on your show yesterday, Jared, it was probably one of the best wins. The Tampa win in overtime was one of the best wins of the season, no question. What I said about Chicago was that it was the most complete performance of the season. And so far, every single person in the Preds on the Preds roster agrees that they want to take what they did on Tuesday, and that's what they want to do every night.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for Robin Leonard, that game's 10-0.
Yeah, and in fact, both Colton and Ryan last night were incredibly complimentary. He goes, I think Johansson said something like, "Rarely do you leave a game where you say the best player on the ice, the guy who played the best, was the opposing goaltender, and you won 3-0.
Oh, wow.
Right. Like, rarely. Normally when you say that, it's, you lost 1-0, right? Like, you got beat by a goaltender who just stood on his head and took away everything that you did. And, man, you threw everything you could at him, and he just somehow figured out a way, and you lost 1-0. Rarely does that happen, and then you win 3-0. And the guy still stood on his head and made incredible save after incredible save all night long and took 50-plus shots. And only gave up 3 goals. I just think it was the most complete showing of the season. It doesn't make it the best win. It was not the best win, so let me be very clear to people who might be listening to me. I did not say that it was the best win. I said it was the most complete performance. So don't twist my words for your own narrative. Okay?
You good?
I'm better now.
How you feel?
I'm better. I just wanted to get that off my chest a little bit.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
I thought Baker Mayfield and Joel Embiid were fired up. until I heard Braden Gall.
Well, you just I don't appreciate my words being taken out of context. Baker Mayfield agrees.
When we come back, speaking of Baker Mayfield, speaking of Joel Embiid, the two biggest stories yesterday in the world of sports, one of which happened in a locker room, the other on the floor. We'll get to that next because we got to call out the media for being hypocrites. And just I'm just saying collectively what? As a whole. We'll do that next on Morning Drive.
To the block field goal at the end of the first half, the two-minute drive. It seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. Or was something going on?
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
That was Baker Mayfield as he stormed out of the locker room yesterday, which I think brings into question, and you'll hear Joel Embiid in a moment as well because he was a big story last night. I mean, we as the media love to say, we want our athletes to be authentic. Be yourself. Stop giving us coaching cliches and stock answers. And then when Baker Mayfield, let's face it, I mean, you know, you could debate. He's got maturity issues. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. When he gets combative and then walks out, I mean, I guess we can dispute his professionalism in that setting.
Yeah, that's the issue. Not the.
But do we kill these guys for not giving us nothing? And then when they're themselves, we kill them as well.
And that was his response on Twitter. I think this morning or last night, he said, "Oh, you know, when I'm honest, you know, you get mad at me. If I'm not honest and I give you a stock answer, then I'm complacent." That wasn't about honesty though. I think Baker's missed the entire point. That was not about being honest or not honest. He's not going to get hammered because of that answer because it was honest or not honest. He's going to get hammered because he was disrespectful to another professional.
How was that disrespectful?
Now, I don't have a problem with it. I don't really care. Like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
No, but I'm saying, how was that disrespectful?
Well, I just think he's frustrated because of a loss and because of how he played. But that's just a guy doing his job. The guy's asking a question,
but
he's just doing his job.
He kept egging him on. It's not called doing your job. It's called, you know, you have an agenda, and you want to get that agenda. Come on, he kept on asking. Baker was giving him the answer, and he kept on saying, well, but. And Baker's like, listen, I'm telling you, man. Like, what more do you want me to say? It's like, and then we don't know how long Baker was standing there. We don't know if he had asked.
He'd been there for a little while.
Yeah, so he was like, okay. I'm tired of this.
It was a BS answer.
I'm leaving. How was it a BS answer? He gave him everything that he wanted, and the dude kept saying, but. And Baker, like, no, I wasn't happy with the drop, but. Seriously.
The question was, the one question I don't like is at the end where the reporter goes, so you're happy with the drive? That is a result of a snarky interaction between both of them. Both of them are being snarky at that point. The first couple of questions are very legitimate questions
about why
is the time ticking off the clock? What is going on? And he just said, "Oh, it was a penalty. We took a penalty.
I think he answered every question, and then the dude kept saying, "But." Well, and Baker was like, "Listen,
he
do
wasn't
you want
getting
me to tell
the answer
you
to the question."
All right, we got the full thing. Let's play it again.
To the block field goal at the end of the first half, the two-minute drive. Seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. Or was something going on?
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
When the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running.
He's answering the question, and the guy is interrupting him saying but. And Baker's like, stop, man, I'm trying to answer the question. Like, I don't. I'm not giving, you know, sometimes we look at these media members and say, oh, they're making X amount of dollars. They should. No, if you're asking a stupid ass question, I'm going to walk away.
Fans want to know.
And he was giving them the answer.
Well, he didn't. He just said, it was a penalty.
Hey, Munson, play it again. He said the clock stopped because it was a penalty. That's the answer. What more do you want him to say? Again, you are being like the guy that's asking a question.
It's not what the fans want to hear.
Who gives a hell what the fans want to hear? Really?
That's what his job is.
Why are you taking your time?
Don't be stealing my lines, Munson.
The clock stopped because it was a penalty. That's the answer. What more do you want?
But that wasn't what happened. in the situation. The reporter is asking why there was so much time taken in between.
He said the clock stopped in that particular play. He said the clock stopped, so we didn't have to run a play, so we took our time. I don't know what more you want him to say, really. I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is there, but that's why you asked the question. And again, the fans want to know what happened.
Play it again.
You want to take it?
Yep, play it again.
Nick, take it back.
Take it back.
Rewind it. Remix.
There was a lack of urgency there, or something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative.
Something
yard.
Going on. There's a penalty, negative yard.
When the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No. Stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running.
He's telling you
clearly.
Let him answer the question.
So we're in negative. What do you say? Negative yardage.
Yeah, negative yardage. He said the clock stopped because it was a penalty.
So the clock doesn't wind after the penalty. So it's still the clock is stopped.
Yeah, the clock.
So you don't need to rush.
Yeah, you don't need to rush.
But later on in that series, on that drive, wasn't there a ton of time that went off in between plays?
That is what the question
is
about.
And I don't even know that it's Baker's fault. I think it's Freddie Kitchens' fault.
That's
a question that he needs to be asking Freddie Kitchens.
And he probably did because he's doing his job.
Take us as a player behind the scenes, because guys that didn't play in the NFL level, like, we go nuts when there's a minute to go and you're out of timeouts and you're, 22 seconds goes off before you get your next snap. Why do some teams and some players go so slow when the urgency is needed to go fast?
Because some teams are relying on the guy on the sideline. They are relaying the message to them. And sometimes when it's noisy, they can't hear. They're trying to figure out, okay, because that speaker is not always clear in your ear.
Say
so
that.
So you're trying to figure this out. Some teams, like a Tom Brady, they don't look 2 minutes. They don't look to the sideline. They got their plays. They know what they're going to run. Steve McNair, he knew what he was going to run. He had his plays. But some teams don't. And then when the clock stops, it's like, okay, why do I got to rush? I'm taking my time here.
I am sympathetic to both sides of this.
I'm not. That guy was an ass to me.
Baker was an ass. So
no,
I,
Baker,
I am,
Baker.
That's
Baker
your
did
opinion,
exactly.
Derek. Let me
he
talk.
He walked off.
Let me talk. The
stop
point.
Asking any dumbass questions.
The point is, he asked one question a second time. He asked a follow up, and then tried to. He didn't get an answer to the question for the fans, which is what he's working for. And he asked a follow up question, and Baker cut him off. And again, I am totally fine with a player being frustrated after a loss. That is a total normal thing. Players are entitled to be frustrated and to be honest. And then, I think it's a double standard totally for athletes and coaches when we ask them to be honest and then they're too honest and then we rip them for being too honest. I think that's garbage too. That was not what took place there. What took place there was a guy was frustrated that he got beat and he acted a little immature and a little unprofessional. It's not a big deal. We don't need to make it a big deal, but it's okay to say Baker Mayfield, you clearly are who you are. We like who you are as a player, but sometimes you got to take your medicine. And when the fans want to know why too much time ran off the clock, it's okay because you don't have an answer, clearly, that you shouldn't just get snippy and snarky and say butt and cut a guy off and be disrespectful to him. Again, I think the reporter then took it to another level with the follow-up, the final question, which is, oh, so you're happy with that drive?
Mm-hmm.
What is he supposed to say to that? Of course he's going to say, of course I'm not happy with the drive. Right. We didn't get any points or whatever. So, like, At that point, the conversation has devolved into two egos yelling at each other or whatever. But it's a fair question to ask. It's fair for Baker to be frustrated. Guess why you make all that money, Baker, and play quarterback in the NFL? A little percentage of that is to answer questions.
It's one of these things, though, like where two things can exist. Like, I love Baker Mayfield's personality.
Yeah,
I love his fire. Just the raw, honest truth. And a lot of people in this day and age can't handle raw, honest truth. But I also like that out of other players on my team at different positions, I don't like his temperament as a franchise quarterback. Like, I've always said, like, my franchise quarterback,
that's interesting.
I want to be a boring guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marcus.
Like Andrew Luck. Because it comes down to judgment for me. Like, I don't trust Baker Mayfield's judgment. And then when you take his lack of maturity, his temperament, his poor judgment, and you mix that with just a historically wretched franchise, it's the perfect recipe for disaster.
Well, I mean, whether – I don't think there's no right or wrong way.
Like, I think Philip Rivers and Brady, they channel their anger in a good way.
You know, you got Philip Rivers, you got Tom Brady, you got Aaron Rodgers. There are a handful of quarterbacks that get emotional and – during the game. And there are some quarterbacks that, just don't. That's just the, way of it. Not to say that they're right. Their way is better than the other way. It's what works for you and your team. Whatever works for you and your team, that's who you're. They know who they drafted when they draft these particular quarterbacks. They know Tennessee Titans knew that they drafted a soft-spoken Marcus Mariota. They knew it.
Baker reminds me of a year. Remember Ryan Leaf when he blew up years ago in that locker room setting with the reporter?
Which, I don't think he went that far.
No, Baker never
didn't go that far. Yeah,
and Ryan Leaf will tell you that that's one of his lowest moments of his career. It's like, why did I act like that? Like, he's ashamed of it, you know. That's not what Baker.
A lot of it is. I mean, when you come into a season and there's all of this, you know, we've gotten this player, on defense, offense, This should be a much better team. Based on their personality.
Hype and pressure getting to him?
I think the pressure.
Freddie
and
Kitchens
the hype,
is getting to all of them.
It's you know, because they, the thing is, they believed in Freddie Kitchens. And they, you know, he went, Baker Mayfield was in his corner so much so that he went off on, what you call it, last year. He had some snarky things to say about Hugh Jackson last year. Didn't want to shake his hand.
It is what it is. It's just silly, but
It is what it is. But that's because they saw the offense operating in a different fashion. Well, fast forward, when the guy is the guy permanently, maybe you don't like what he's doing, and he's frustrated by maybe – they all are probably frustrated, you know, about what's going on because they were pegged. You know, some people pegged them in the AFC Championship game.
Which is why you listen to this show, because we all told you not to do that. Now, again, there's always this pushback on Baker, which I find interesting, because I love Baker Mayfield as a – you guys know that I love watching him play. Like, I love him as an athlete. I like his honesty. You take the good with the bad, and sometimes you're going to get that. And, again, if I ever had that interaction with anyone in my family or at my job, I would be considered a giant tool for acting that way to anybody at my job or in my family. So I think it is a disrespectful interaction. It's not that big a deal. You walk up to a guy the next day and you say, hey, my bad, man, and you move on. Like, it's not that big a deal. But I think the larger question is your point, Nick, about is that temperament going to work? Can it work when it's not harnessed in the appropriate way, right? Like you said, Rivers is that fiery guy, but he harnesses it in the correct way. And so that's interesting to me, because the other thing people say about Baker is, well, what have you done? You haven't done anything. You haven't won anything. Well, he did set the record for touchdown passes by a rookie quarterback last year. So it's not like he didn't he got the Browns to a 7-8-1 record. It's not like he hasn't accomplished anything. I realize he hasn't won anything yet, but it's not like he didn't have a really good rookie year.
No, very true.
He did. He won a Heisman Trophy, got to the playoff. I mean, he's accomplished some things, not a ton. And now he's second only to Jameis Winston in turnovers. In the NFL. And when you have 12 interceptions and like 9 touchdowns, you're not doing your job. So the bottom line is, Baker, whatever question you're being asked, you're not doing your job right now. Whether it's the coach's fault, the offensive line's fault, probably a little bit of all of that, just like here, right? It's the coach's fault and the offensive line's fault. You got to answer questions, man. That's just the nature of the beast. When you're the number one overall pick and you're the quarterback of an NFL franchise, you're going to have to answer tough questions. It's just how it goes.
We will carry this conversation over to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. He's going to join us on the other side. Morning Drive on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you can win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.